Okay, well, let's ask the Lord to help us. Eh? It's not an easy passage, this one, either, I'm afraid. The book of Judges is getting increasingly more difficult now. I'll tell you as you go along.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you. You put your word for us in print, Lord, that we can see how things worked out, what things happened, Lord, that we can learn lessons from them, Lord. Quite often, Lord, not to do what they did. But Lord, we know that you've given us direction for doing what's right as well. So I just pray you'll bless your word to us tonight. And grant us your help, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It's Judges chapter 14. The heading is called Samson's Marriage in my Bible. It's the marriage that never was, as it turns out. But there's some real puzzles in this chapter, and there's more to come as we go along. Samson's a bit of a mystery, as you know. Yeah. So verse 14. Samson went down to Timnah and saw a young Philistine woman. Now, what does that tell you?
He's looking,
but he's also just look at the verse before that. The woman, verse 24, the woman gave birth to a boy named him Samson. In the space of a few verses, we've just skipped a whole number of years. He's grown up now, right? Time flies when you read the Bible, yeah? And so he's grown up now, and he went down to Timnah. That's down in Philistine country. Yeah, he's heading off down Philistine country. And he saw a young Philistine woman, right? Yes. Now then, just remember, he's growing up, he's got hormones belted around his system, and one of the, I don't know if this young man, do you notice girls yet? No, that's right, yeah. Right, well, what happens is we get older, we get these hormones going inside us, and all of a sudden they turn lights in our heads, and you see a female, and you think, oh, yeah, that's what happens. It's terrible, isn't it, yeah? Right. That's the way the hormones work. Well, Samson was like this, yeah? Right? The problem, there's nothing wrong with beautiful creatures. Yeah, God made beauty, right? It's the problem is Samson goes after the wrong stuff, as we'll see, right? So he's gone down to there and he sees a young Philistine woman. Well, she's a beautiful girl, I'm sure she is, yeah? Right? Only problem is, she's a Philistine, right? And what's the problem with being a Philistine?
She's unclean.
Unclean? Well, what does that mean?
She's not deserving of God.
I'm sure she's washed. I'm sure she's well clean in that sense. But the problem is, they worshipped false gods. They worshipped idols. And the danger is, you get mixing up with people who worship the false gods, you might start doing it too. So that's why God warned them, don't go marrying the foreigners. God's not against foreigners, it's the foreign gods that they bring with them. That's the problem.
They've been doing it left, right and centre.
Yes. Well, there's nothing new under the sun, you know.
No.
Well, yeah, and there's still. And what's the application for Christians? Christians shouldn't marry non-Christians, right? The problem is that they do. And what happens is that the Christian starts dropping off in their faith and they don't quite get so keen on the Lord, and by the time they finish, it's not like everybody else. Yeah. So that's the danger. Yeah. Of course, there's always it raises a whole subject, this one. There's always the danger of the young girl that sees this non-Christian guy and says, oh, isn't he handsome? Yeah. You know, as we are, aren't we? And isn't he handsome? And she says, I'll change him.
Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, well, they do, don't they?
In my short career as a minister, and I've been around a few years, right, I haven't met many girls that have changed a non-Christian. It don't work. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, Samson, he sees this Philistine girl, right, and when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I've seen a Philistine woman in Timnah, now get her for me as my wife. Right? So he goes and asks mum and dad to arrange it all, because that's how it was in those days. Mum and dad have to pay for the wedding. Mm. So sort it out, yes? Go and get her for me, right? So he's going about it in a right sense, to some way, yes? But he says, I've seen a Philistine girl, now get her for me as my wife. What's the problem with that? Is all he's done, he's seen somebody. He has no idea what she's like. Or anything.
Yeah.
Doesn't know her at all.
Yeah.
He's going on what his eyes see. That's the problem with Samson. He just goes by what he sees, he doesn't think, it seems to me, he was given the brain, but it doesn't seem to work very well. So, he says to his mum and dad, I want her. I want her as a wife, Chris, right? So, hormones firing full belt now.
He's not honouring his parents.
He's not honouring his... Well, he's honouring them in asking, but that's about it. He's come to ignore everything they say.
He doesn't ask, he tells.
Right. Well, yes, yes. Get her for me, yes. I'm not wanting your opinion on the matter. Which they now give. In verse 3, his father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Yeah. He says there must be girls who are lovely girls, who are the Hebrew girls, who would be perfectly suited for you. Right? Isn't there one of them? They're trying to persuade him, yes? Must you go and go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? Right? And so he uses this term uncircumcised, because you know that the males in the Hebrews were circumcised when they were baby boys, right? Whereas the Philistines, they weren't, and so it was a complete different group of people in that sense, That's what he's talking about. But when he uses uncircumcised, he means godless. That's really what he's getting at. They just don't recognise our God, they don't worship our God. What do you want to value one of them for? Right, so that's the question. So, I just want to ask you a question here. This is a real, real stonker of a question, and it's the one I can't give you an answer to, is where did his parents go wrong? Or did they? How come Samson turns out like Samson turns out? His parents were good parents, weren't they?
Yeah.
I'm sure they were. And I like this morning, I didn't go into it because we've got not enough time, but Cain and Abel. Same parents, same family, same circumstances. One turns out to be an absolute rotter, and the other one's a good guy. How does it happen? I don't know. But there you are.
The parents would be accused of racial discrimination these days.
They would be now, yes.
It's against the law, what they say.
Well, exactly, but that's a problem that they didn't have to worry about, right? Because they were going by what God said. Right? We might have a problem with going with what God says nowadays, but I prefer to go by what God says.
Yeah.
They'll lock me up too bad.
When you were talking about Samson seeing this woman, I couldn't help thinking about MPs.
Oh, but the MPs, right? Yes.
And
yes.
Their eyes light up.
Exactly.
But what is the proper way of behaving?
What's the proper way to behave?
Yeah, not by going up and slapping them.
No, no, it isn't, no.
No.
No. So, here we have this problem boy. That's all I'm putting down. As how he turned out the way he turned out, I do not know. But, there he is. So, let's go to the next verse, then we're on to verse 4. Samson said to his father, get her for me, she's the right one for me. Right, and you'll notice this, the young people always know best. You've noticed that? I used to be like that.
Yeah?
Were you like that too? The young ones always know best. Parents, you don't know what you're talking about. You're old, you're past it, you've no idea. Right, so, he says, get her for me, she's the right one for me, I know better than you do. Right, and then verse 4 is a really strange verse. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Back of all what's going on, God's at work. Yes, because what Samson should be doing is not courting the Philistines, but fighting them. Because they were oppressing the Israelites. They'd taken them to the cleaners, really, yeah? And so Samson was supposed to be taking on the Philistines, not taking them in. But he says it was from the Lord, because I'd like to say, he's saying that God's involved in this. That doesn't mean to say God approves of what he did. You've got to understand this. The Bible describes quite a few things that God says he doesn't like. Yeah? But he allows these things to happen because he can use them for his bigger purposes. What's going to happen is, it's all going to go pear-shaped, and Pant Samson finishes up fighting Philistines. After all. I mean, he didn't intend to do that, but God manoeuvres it, so he finishes up doing that. Yeah. So that's what the Lord's intention. He does not approve of Samson doing what he's doing, but he allows it to happen for the bigger purposes. Yeah.
I read it the opposite way. I didn't realise all that.
How did you read it? That God approved of what he was doing?
God said that she was the one he should choose and he should marry.
Well, no, I don't read it like that.
This was from the Lord.
It was from the Lord, yes. The whole thing was from the Lord. Not the marriage was from the Lord, but the situation is from the Lord, in my understanding. Yeah? Well, that's me. I mean, you
know.
Yeah?
You're the teacher.
Well, but I don't know everything, you know.
Yeah.
It's a difficult verse. All I'm trying to make is trying to make it less difficult. My saying is, yes, God's at the back of it, but he doesn't always approve of what they do. Yeah? And he's using this situation in order to bring about a confrontation. What he says, the Lord did it in order to seek an occasion to confront the Philistines. That's what's going on. Yeah? That's the intention behind it all. Right? So, Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. So they arranged to go and have a meeting to arrange the wedding. Yeah? Right. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, yes, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. Now, what's happened is that mum and dad have walked down with him, but they go on and he goes off sideways down to the vineyards. Yeah, so they're in different places when this happens. Yeah, his mum and dad don't see this happening. You don't see that in the verse here, but that's what's gone on. Mum and dad have carried on walking. He's gone down to the vineyards. What's the problem with Samson going down to the vineyards?
He's gone off on his own.
He's gone off on his own. That's right. There's something else. What is he meant to be? He's meant to be a Nazarite. And what do Nazarites not do is mess around with vines, grapes, wine, anything to do with vineyards. Right? And where does he go?
The vineyard.
If you're asking for trouble, you'll find it. That's the point, yeah? If you want to get temptation, go where you'll find it. Right? You read that in Proverbs about the young man going by the house of the lady, you know, of ill repute. Says he was going down her street at dark at the right time of night. He's asking for trouble. Yeah? Samson's asking for trouble here about it, isn't it? Yeah? And what happens is, maybe God sent this one. Yeah? What happens is he goes along, he says, suddenly a young lion came roaring towards him. What should he have done? Got out of the road. I think that's what God was trying to tell him. But what does he do? He says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. So God helps him. Yes, perhaps he should have helped him to run, but the Spirit of the Lord came on him in power. Right, so Samson is going to show remarkable strength. Yes, I mean, I don't think it's just that he was Mr. Atlas bodybuilder. I don't know. I don't think he had big biceps and things like that in that sense. But when God came on him, he had supernatural power. Yeah, I'll give you the exact opposite of that. Remember the Gadarene man? Yes. Who lived out in the tombs, the demon-possessed man, possessed by a whole legion of demons. It says they used to tie him up with chains, but they couldn't hold him. He got supernatural power from the wrong source, of course, but there's power. Yes, but he's got power from God. Right? So the Holy Spirit came on him, and he tore the lion apart with his bare hands, as he might have torn a young goat. Right? So really strong, finishes the lion off. Okay?
That's what it seems to say. This is God's plan.
God's working for him in spite of him. He's in the wrong place. He's going for the wrong thing, and yet the Spirit of God comes on him. I don't know why God does this, but he does. I guess he's probably helped. I mean, I think of some stupid things I've done in my life, and I look back and think, well, Lord, you got me out of that one. And I wasn't aware of it at the time. Yeah? I mean, I'll give you one classic example. This was as a young man, yes, young boy. In the winter time, there was a lake near where we used to live. A lake, yes. And I went out for a walk, as one does, on one's own, on the lake, and it was frozen. Yeah? So I go out on the lake, frozen, can't swim, never learned to swim, out on this lake, yes. And in the middle of the lake, somebody had taken some bricks. And so I picked up the bricks and tried to break a hole in the ice, in the middle of the lake, when I can't swim. Yeah? Well, I couldn't succeed. Thankfully, it was frozen enough. Yes. I came back, got to the edge of the lake, and the ice cracked. And I got out.
Oh, good job didn't happen in the middle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some years later, someone did exactly the same thing, and they were drowned. Yeah. Why? Well, God had plans. That's all I can say. It wasn't because Dennis was so clever.
He loved you, Dennis.
He must have done. Yeah, he does. I know that, yes. But you got the idea. God can use stupid people. It's not how he works. Well, Samson's no-brainer. I'm telling you, he's absolutely nutted at this one. Anyway, right, he tears this lion up, and but he told neither his father nor his mother what he'd done, so mum and dad weren't there. You've got the point, I'm saying, yeah? Right, so, then he went down and talked with the woman, and he liked her. First time he's met her. He's seen her, doing, yeah, she's mine, yeah? And then he talks to her, and he likes her. Right, well, I'm sure she spoke very nicely. Yeah, but it's still not right, but he liked her. Yes, good. Right. Sometime later, right, so they've got all the technical details of sorting the marriage out and all that. Sometime later, he went back to marry her. So they had to sort out all the arrangements, yeah? Right. He turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. Yeah, so as he's walking along, he pops down the road and thinks, ooh, I remember that lion now. I'll just go and see what happened, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. And in it, a swarm of bees. In it was a swarm of bees with some honey. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now then, I just want to offer you a little warning on reading commentaries. I've got several commentaries on the Bible. Some of them are not very good. And one I was reading was saying this is all made up, you know, because bees won't form a hive inside a rotting carcass. They just don't do it. Yeah? So the story's made up, you see, that's what they're saying, yeah? Right? I read another commentary which was really good. It says, do you know, in this culture where they live, yeah, in that particular part, it can be extremely dry at certain times of the year. And if something keels over and dies, within 24 hours, it's a mummy. Completely dehydrated. Yeah?
Yeah.
And just like a tree trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Bees will form hives in that, won't they? So you see, you know, if you know the situation, if you understand what it's about, it gets rid of all these stupid ideas that others come up with. Anyway, what's happened is that this carcass has dried out, the bees have set up home in there, and they've formed a hive. Yes? And he sees that they've made some honey. Bees make honey, don't they? Yeah. And so what does he do? It says he scooped out some with his hands and ate it as he went along. Now, what's wrong with that?
He's a Nazarite not to touch a dead animal.
He's a Nazarite not to touch dead bodies. Mm-hmm. He's breaking all the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Nazarites don't touch dead things. Not supposed to. And what does he do? Doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm Samson after all. Mm-hmm. Do what I like. I think that was his problem. He grew up thinking he could do what he liked. Maybe his mum and dad never told him off. Do they tell you off? Oh, that's good then, isn't it? Yeah. See, yeah, right. Yeah, but if you get away with everything, problem is you're going to have problems later on, yeah? So, that's maybe one of the clues, I don't know. Anyway, okay, so he takes his honey, scoops it out, eats it as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some, and they too ate it. But he did not tell them where he'd taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Why didn't he tell them?
Because he knew they wouldn't take it.
Exactly. He knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
He knew it was wrong. And what's he doing? Is he
passing on
the problem to his parents?
Like Adam and Eve.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it? That's what sin does, you know. Involves others. It's not just doesn't stay on his own. Always messes somebody else up. So he does it to his mum and dad as well. There, what a thing to do. Right. Next then. Right. Yes, now, his father went down to see the woman. Yes, they're arranging things. And Samson made a feast there, as was customary for bridegrooms. When he appeared, he was given 30 companions. So they have a special wedding ceremony. Yeah, but it's a wedding feast, and it doesn't last one day. It lasts 7 days. Fancy a wedding lasting 7 days, eh? Well, that's how they did it in those days. 7 day feast. Yeah, and He didn't have any companions. He's a bit of a loner, is our Samson. And you should have companions with you, you know, sort of bridegroom's pals, the boys, you know.
Yes,
and he ain't got any. So what they do is they round up some other chaps, who are Philistines, as it turns out, and they get them for it, yeah. It was customary for bridegrooms. So when he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said to them. Now then, what's going on, possibly, is here, they've got this party, but Samson's there. Maybe Samson's got a bit of a reputation, right? And the Philistines aren't too keen on him, so they're all looking a bit miserable, and he decides, well, let's liven it up. Let's have a few challenges, eh? I'll tell you a riddle, yeah? See if you can figure it out. And so he gives them this riddle. Samson said to them, if you can give me an answer within the 7 days of the feast, I'll give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes. So, it's a bet. Yeah. We'll have a bet. He says, tell you what, if you can solve my riddle, I'll give you 30 sets of underwear. That's what the linen garments are. They're underwear, yeah? 30 sets of underwear and 30 sets of overwear. Yeah? Clothes. Yeah? That's quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He says, if you can solve it within 7 days.
Was it wrong for him to bet?
Was it wrong for him to bet? Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what was wrong with him. He's making a joke out of his sin. Yeah? He thinks, it's a bit of fun, this. Yeah, let's use the riddle, because you don't know what the riddle is yet, do you? Yeah, we know what the riddle is, but he's going to use the riddle, what's happened with the lion, to make a bit of fun. Yeah, well, not good. That's not the good bit, yes. So, they say, tell us your riddle, they said. Let's hear it. So we say, okay, we'll go for it. Yeah. And he replied, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet.
Oh, the honey.
Right. Well, we know what it is, but they had no idea whatsoever what it was about. Yeah? Out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something sweet. And you remember the Tate and Lyle?
Yeah,
syrup tins.
Yeah.
You've never seen those, have you?
Yeah.
They used to buy syrup in tins, golden syrup. Oh, they probably still can. Yes. And on the front of it is a dead lion with bees buzzing around it, and the text around it, out of the lion, out of the eater, something to eat, out of the strong, something to eat. That's where they got it from. From here, you see. Golden syrup. Yeah. Right, so that's where it comes from. Yeah. But that's his joke, his little riddle. Yeah. For 3 days, they could not give the answer. Of course they couldn't, because he wasn't telling them and they had no idea where he's come from, yes? Okay. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we will burn you and your father's household to death. Did you invite us here to rob us? That's nice of them, isn't it? Yeah? So that's how Philistines behave, yes? They say, if you don't tell us what the riddle is, right? You're going to cop it. We're going to burn your house down, and we're going to burn you in it. Yeah? So, nice. She's got a problem. But she's had a problem all week, as you'll see. Right? Let's have a look. Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing. You hate me! You don't really love me! You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. Right? What's she doing?
Trying to
blackmail. Yeah. It's emotional blackmail, that's what it's called. And we will see Samson is absolutely useless at dealing with weeping women. He gives in every time, doesn't he? Yeah. Right? They know how to turn the tears on, and he is just absolutely useless at being able to handle this. Yeah. So she comes and says, you hate me, you don't really love me. All that sort of thing, yes. You've given a riddle. And then his answer, listen to this as an answer. I haven't even explained it to my father or mother, he replied. So why should I explain it to you? That's nice, isn't it? Don't think much of her, does he? Yeah? He said, I haven't told mum and dad about this, so why should I tell you? Yeah? Well, that's not good, is it? So, what happens is, she cried the whole 7 days of the feast. Well, they only came to threaten her on the fourth day. So what's she been doing all the other days? I think when he posed the riddle, the tear work started. Yeah. What's it all about, Samson? I'm not telling you. Yeah. And so he was, you don't love me. Well, he didn't. He didn't love her, really. That's the problem, yeah? Anyway, he goes on for 7 days, and after 7 days he cracks. Right? Now then. What happens is, she cried the whole 7 days of the feast, and so on the seventh day he finally told her, because she continued to press him. And she in turn explained the riddle to her people. Right, what does happen is she betrays him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He gives her the answer, she betrays him, and tells the others. Right, so, before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town said to him, when it's time to answer the riddle, they say, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Yeah. We've cracked it.
Yeah.
Yes. Now then, listen to Samson's answer. Samson said to them, "If you'd not ploughed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." That's nice, is it not? Yes. He's calling her a cow.
Cow, yeah.
Yes. But one of the things that's, I mean, it sounds worse than it is. It's not good. Yeah. But you didn't plough with a heifer. Yeah, that's the point. It basically says if you hadn't broken the rules, you wouldn't have found the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't do that with heifers. Yeah, you don't plough with them. You use oxen. Yeah. If you'd have ploughed with a heifer, my heifer, yeah. What did he say? My heifer. My heifer, yeah, well, he's referring to her. Yeah, but he's saying you broke the rules, you got the answer. Right, so, what's he going to do? He's made a bet. He's got to pay up, hasn't he?
Right. Well.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. Right. So, the Lord stirs him up. Yeah. He went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men, stripped them of their belongings and gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle.
Oh, he didn't give his, he stripped down the
riddle. Yeah. He went down to Ashkelon. Why does he go to Ashkelon? Well, how far away is Ashkelon? It's a good distance. The point being is, they won't know what he's done and where he's got them from. Yeah, that's the point of the moving down to Ashkelon. But what is Ashkelon? It's a Philistine city. That's, he's going to attack the Philistines at last! Right? So he attacks these guys and then pinches all their clothes. And he brings all these sets of 30 clothes along to the other guys and gives them to them. Yeah? So he pays up his debt. And then he says, burning with anger, he went up to his father's house. How about that? Yeah?
He wasn't married yet, was he?
No, he's not married yet. He got so angry at what's happened. He should have been angry at himself, really, but he's angry at what's gone wrong here. So angry at what's happened, he just walks off. Clear off. Walks straight out of the whole party. He's off. I'm going. Yeah? So he walks home.
All right.
Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah? And it says, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. Well, there's the bride standing at the altar, we could say. Samson's cleared off. So what's the vicar to do? Well, his best mate says, well, I'll have her. Yeah? So, poor girl. I mean, I feel sorry for this Philistine girl, you know, but there you are. Right, so well, there you are. She is now married to this friend, so-called friend, the Philistine chap, yeah? So that's Samson's wedding out of the way. Yeah? But at least we've started fighting Philistines. That was the intention of the whole thing, yeah?
Yeah?
But it's not the way we should do it, is it, yeah? Strange. This
well,
man...
God, didn't he? He's got the plan, didn't
he? Well, God worked through it. It's a difficult one, this, to say God planned it. Yes, overall, you say God's sovereign, he works everything out. But in the middle of all that, we still can say, Samson did wrong, God did not condone what he did, but he can use what he did.
Yeah.
Yes. It's the same with, I just think of Joseph and his brothers in Genesis. Joseph says to his brothers, you meant it for harm. Because they sold him, they tried to kill him, they fooled deceived his father. All of that was wrong. He says, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. In that he got him to Egypt and got him to be Prime Minister of Egypt. Not the way to go about it, but that's how God works sometimes.
It says
yes.
That it was from the Lord.
Yes.
Surely it was from the Lord. That was his plan.
Hmm.
It just didn't sound right. Rather than him saying he worked it for good, did he not plan it?
Well,
God, the plan, what I'm trying to argue here, yeah. my way of seeing it, is the plan that God had was that Samson should be fighting Philistines.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
Samson wasn't going about it the right way, but God used what Samson was doing in order to get to Samson to the place where he wanted him to be, fighting Philistines.
He didn't want him to marry a Philistine girl, either.
No.
One of the problems, too, you've been here, was that the Israelites didn't fight the Philistines.
No.
They merged together.
They rolled over.
And this was the trouble.
Yeah.
And Samson would have done the same thing.
Yes.
So he got stirred up.
Yes. Yeah. The Lord's Stirred the nest up a bit, yes. So it's, all I'm trying to say is Samson is a real mystery of a guy. He just doesn't take the way we think he should do. He doesn't do the things we think he should do, and yet God's using him. And he's called one of the, you look in Hebrews, he's called one of the heroes of faith. Well, you know, God's got a better view of him than I have, obviously. Yeah. But we've got more to come with Samson, but we've noticed his weakness. Yeah. He goes by what he can see. He doesn't think with his head. He thinks with his emotions, I suppose you'd say. Yeah. And as a result, he's going to get himself into some big trouble as time goes on. And yet God's going to use him to deliver the Philistines. What's the problem?
No.
All right, it's okay.
Yes, just say one thing.
Yeah.
When you see, I immediately thought, as he's weakening, and that's where he lost his eyesight.
He did, yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's a parallel there, isn't it? Oh, it connects, doesn't it? Yes. Yeah. It's when he lost his eyesight, he began to see clearly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy. Ah, dear. Samson. Anyway. This is one example where Paul writes about, he says, these things happen to them that we might not follow their example. This is not the way to do it. Yeah. Yeah, God will work in you and he'll use you. If you do about it God's way, it'll be okay. Yeah. If you don't, you'll find out you get yourself in a mess, as poor old Samson does, time and time again. Oh, what a happy story. Right, well, we've got more of this next time. Yes, let's pray. Father, it's a mystery. And yet, Lord, we know that you're able to work through us imperfect people as we are. Lord, if you waited for us to be perfect before you used us, it would never happen. But Lord, we don't want to be disobedient. Lord, he broke all the rules, Lord. He must have known, his parents must have told him, Lord, and yet he ignored their advice. He went his own way and paid the terrible price as a result. Lord, may we learn our lessons without having to get taken to the woodshed, as it were, Lord. Oh, Father, help us. Thank you for your discipline, but thank you for your guidance too. Grant us your mercies and blessings, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.